We had a good number of visitors this morning. Thank you, guys. It was lovely. Good number of visitors this morning. One of them, I understand, was a pathologist. So I guess she came around to see if we could raise the dead. You learn a lot by going out on church visitation on a Saturday morning. And I learned yesterday that Miss Melissa, where'd she go? Where's she? She moves around so much. Where is she? She's in the nursery. I learned yesterday she brought her lunch, a little Tupperware, and had a sandwich in there. And I learned she had a sandwich, and she likes it, really, really likes it, and looking forward to lunch, looking forward to it. You want to know what she had? Peanut butter and raisins. Peanut butter and raisins. And all she was just raving about it, so good. And it must have been good because we got back, we went out to lunch, came back in, and she was doing this down in the bowl, you know. So it must have been really good. And boy, she was just happy as a lark, you know, with that peanut butter and raisins. So, hey, if she loves it, maybe give it a try sometime. I like peanut butter and bananas, peanut butter and apples. I like to just smear a little peanut butter on that. And my kids and my wife, they every once in a while, they put peanut butter on pancakes. So I guess more power to you. Then I found out, I guess that was her celebration because yesterday was Melissa's birthday. Yesterday was her birthday. She didn't even say a thing about it. So before you leave tonight, try to say hello and happy belated birthday to that sweet girl. The other thing that you learn is Miss Sydney is trying to teach her new husband some tricks. We were going down the road there, and she saw a little dead stick right there about that long. She reached down and she grabbed that stick and threw it out there in front of Brother Gabe. She says, "Fetch." And you know what? He fetched. So you can learn a lot. You'd be surprised what you can learn if you go out on church visitation. Come on and go with us. Come on and go with us. We'll have a ball together. The greatest desire I believe we can have after we're saved is the desire to be used of God. Years ago, I tried to sing a song a couple times. Jesus, use me. Please use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. One of the greatest desires that we can have is the desire to be used of God. After salvation, we don't want to sit and just soak. We want to stand and serve. To work in the service of the King should be our highest honor and our greatest privilege. And it is. The song says, "I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King." The second through fourth verses go as such. "I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. Through the sunshine and the shadow, I can sing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. To His guiding hand forever I will cling in the service of the King." The last verse reads, "I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. All that I possess to Him I gladly bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King." What a privilege is ours. Those who've been washed clean by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, we're talking about this morning. We get to serve God. Many times we're working through the internships and all, especially in the summers with the new guys, you know, that come in, the summer interns. I'll turn to them and say, "You know what we get to do today? We get to impart the very Word of God. We get to preach." What a privilege is ours. To preach, proclaim, to teach God's holy word. And many of you right here in this room, through your teaching ministries throughout the church and elsewhere in Bible studies and all that you do with your family and friends, what a joy, what a privilege we have to impart God's word to other people. You know, in this world, we really don't get away with anything. A lot of people think they get away with a lot of stuff, but they don't get away with anything really. But so many pretend, they fake it. But there are the sincere ones. And I'm so glad that I know so many sincere Christians. so many sincere, not perfect Christians, we're not there, but sincere Christian folk who you can say with absolute certainty in your heart, they love the Lord. They love the Lord. They have a love for the Lord, their God. And I want you to know, we have a great number of sincere ones capable and able to do the work and doing the work with their ability and beyond by the grace of Almighty God through the Spirit of God. We go and we are able to do above what we're capable of doing. And I pray to be in that holy number till my dying days. Till my dying days, I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve Him. Now you would think that as big of a word as integrity is, I know that's not proper English, but you give me some grace. As big of a word as integrity is, it would be easy to find. But it's not quite so easy to find. And I'm afraid it's kind of waning more and more as we see the day of the Lord approaching integrity. And frankly, there's less and less of it, it seems, in the world. It used to be the old timers were saying, my handshake is my bond, you know. That was their word. They gave you their word and you didn't have to have a signed contract of anything. If they gave you a word on something, you were good to go. Today's generation, unfortunately, they know little of that. Little of that. Even the contracts and paper, most of the time, are not worth the ink that it takes to print them. Yet it seems the larger the world gets, the less integrity that we find. It certainly seems to be that is waxing worse and worse as we see the day approaching. And I think there's something about that said in the Holy Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yea, all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving. What happened to just telling the truth? Just tell the truth. The whole truth. So help us God, right? So help me God. When I end up in a courtroom for whatever reason, usually there as a witness or something, I like to see people take that oath. So help me God. The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. So help me God. Pastor Adrian Rogers, a fine man. I wish I knew a little bit more about his former church and what's happened. I understand the pastor who was there more recently ran into some health issues. And I don't know if he's passed away yet, but I think he has stepped down. But Pastor Adrian Rogers was definitely used of God. He's a man greatly used of the Lord. But it tells a story years ago about a good pastor who had two men in his church that just didn't like him. They didn't like him at all. Well, that's not too uncommon. You know, you preach the Word of God, you're going to rub some kiddies the wrong way. I promise you that. They had two men that didn't like him. They came to him and they said, Pastor, we would like to ask for your resignation from the church. You would. Yes, we would like to ask for your resignation from the church. The pastor said, well, thank you for coming to me with this. Would you mind if I prayed about this for a little while and talked to the Lord about it, and then I'll get back to you? And the two men said, yes, preacher, you just go right ahead. You go right ahead and do that, and we'll meet together next week. Well, that's not long, is it? But, you know, that's the way it goes. We'll meet together next week. Well, the next week came. They met. And the two men asked the pastor, well, preacher, what did God say to you? And preacher responded and said, God told me He never heard of you two guys. Now that's funny. I don't care who you are, that's funny, you know. Oh, man. I mean, sometimes you get some really good laughs as a preacher, and that would be one of them. You say, I've never heard of you two guys, you know. Never heard of you two guys. There are two, well, I can tell you some names. One day I'll write a book and I'll change all the names, okay? You pretend that you don't know any of them. There are two very strong texts concerning with the quality of our integrity. I know you kind of tweak that a little bit, but the quality, the question of the quality of our integrity. and service to the Lord. And we find one is the occasion that Paul is writing some of his last words, and he's writing to his young preacher boy by the name of Timothy. And the other is for a church that's young in spirit in the sense that they are not really grown up. They're carnal. And that's to the church at Corinth. Now, people sometimes want to know, what type of exercises, what kind of things do you go through as a preacher to kind of work to keep you in line, to keep you on your toes, and things like that. And one of the things I know that we preachers do, you know, Clayton said, you preacher? And I said, yeah, I preacher. He said, I grew up, I'd be preacher too. And I said, well, that's to be seen. But two strong texts, and I'd like to invite you there with the, kind of like a little exercise and things that preachers like me go through and periodically and kind of just make an assessment about where we are, how things are going, what to do and what not to do. All right, just kind of refresher, just kind of help you to stay in line. The first, of course, is 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then we'll get over to Paul's other text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Quite a bit of the text here in chapter 2 of Timothy. The heading in my Bible here, beginning this chapter, is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier. Would you agree that preachers should be a good soldier? Well, I mean, if they're going to lead... Right? If they're going to lead, they don't need to be leading from behind. They need to be an example, right? Would you agree with me that a preacher should be a little bit above the norm, right? He ought to be a little bit of a cut above. Would you agree with that? They ought to be a cut above, and people ought to be able to expect that they would be a cut above. Ought to be able to expect that. Well, let's see what we can get here. I want to read through this and then read through the next text, and then we're going to come back and just give a number of bullet points, and I'll just go till I run out of time. How about that? All right, let's begin. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, we're in a spiritual battle, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them. Who you run with is important. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now turn over, if you would, and you can hold your place there. Just put a thumb right there, a finger. Pinky will do. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, tonight's mission night, talking about ministry. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That was quoted, of course, earlier by Brother John. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge and the glory of the God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death of Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, can I give you just a couple of points that I think would kind of represent the broad categories, and then I'm going to dive into more of a micro view and just bullet points, and as we work our way through. The first thing that jumps out to me about these two passages as we work through them is that we have responsibility. And we as preachers, and you are a proclaimer of God's truth, so in that sense you're a preacher too. You're not a vocational preacher, but you are one who should be proclaiming the Word of God to others. Would you agree with that? Okay. We should, number one, represent the Word of God well to others. We should represent the Word of God well to others. And that's talking about our testimony, who we are. Years ago, and I dare say he's not the first one, but it became kind of popular to kind of talk in those these quarters about how a particular president, President Clinton, tried to compartmentalize his life and say, my personal business is none of your business, you know. Well, that's not going to fly. It's certainly not going to fly with God. Right, it's not going to fly. Our testimonies, how we live our lives, is critically important. It's vitally important how we live our life. If our life, as proclaimers of God's word, if our lives are a disgrace, we disgrace the Lord who called us. It's imperative that we represent the word of God well to others, because a lot of people, the only word they're ever going to read is you, is your life. And if your life does not represent the word, they're not going to get any kind of word resemblance in their hearts and minds by knowing you. Now, I think we owe it to the world to do our best, though we fail, but to do our best. And when we fail, get back up, dust yourself off, and go at it again. Amen? To represent the Word of God well. That it's my desire never to argue with the Word of God, but to seek to comply my life with the Word of God. Just that simple. Just that simple. The book determines our course. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And number two, we ought to represent the work of the Lord well. Represent the work of the Lord well, and that's about ministry. That's about our service. And of course, Mission Night, it's about ministry. So I want to walk through just kind of a bullet point exercise here, just a number of things that I'm already getting out of time. But let me just get started. Number one, we should give ourselves in ministry, and tonight we're talking about mission, so we should give ourselves in mission ministry always to a ministry of multiplication. Always to a ministry of multiplication. The Great Commission could not have ever been accomplished without what we call multiplication. Not addition, but multiplication. Look back in the first text in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 2. Paul writes to young Timothy, and he says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same." Don't come up with your new and improved version. "The same commit thou to faithful men," not man, men, "who shall be able to teach others also." It's imperative if we want to grow ministry and we want to expand the work of the Lord our God that we have to be faithful to impart to more than one. And then those individuals, they're taught also to impart to more than one. And you are very quickly into this thing we call multiplication. Multiplication. Ministry is about multiplication. Why do we send out some of our choice? Why do we send out our choice? Multiplication. What's better than 2? 4. What's better than 4? 8. What's better than 8? 16. Amen? Give yourself to the process of multiplication. Number 2. If we're going to be faithful in this, we have to be very, very careful of earthly entanglements. Now, not concerns, not things that we must take care of. There are things we must take care of, right? But entanglements. Be careful of earthly entanglements. Years ago, I had somebody try to get me into a sales program called Amway. Ever heard of that? Amway. It's a peer design structure and all, and boy, you can really make the dough if you get your pyramid all structured up there, you know. But every church member you would have, you would be trying to sell them some new and improved Tide. I would say, no thank you. Why? Because it crosses over some barriers, and in my mind, it would be an entanglement to the gospel ministry. All right? An entanglement. I think that's what we're talking about here. No man, verse 4, that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Number 3. There's such a thing yet as the law, and we are to strive. We are to work. We are to press for the mark for the prize. We are to strive lawfully. We are to strive play by the rules. We are to work according to the Word of God. Work according to the Word of God. Look at verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive, what's the word? Lawfully. Abide by the rules. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like cheaters. I don't like bullies. You say you don't like a lot of people. You're right. I don't like bullies, and I don't like cheaters. Now listen, I don't like boys playing on girls' teams. That's a cheater. In my mind, it's just playing and his nose on your face. It's a cheater. That's a cheater who's trying to cheat to win, mostly for themselves and then maybe for their team. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for that. But that's a cheater. That's not equal. Now, if you're a boxer, you have to box in your weight class, right? You have to box in your category. You just don't get to go out, you know, a pro fighter, and you just go out there and you're just going to take out an amateur that's only had two fights in their whole life. They've never had anything over 1 or 2 3-minute bouts. Well, you know who's going to... It's just not fair. It's just not fair. It's not lawful. I'm never going to finish. I'm going to blow through these. Okay. We have a number of engineers. More engineers probably than any other vocation as far as the men are concerned in the church. Lord help us. I know, but... And I have probably said this to probably every one of those engineers. I want you to be a good thinker. I don't want you to be a good stinker. Okay? Because sometimes engineers can think so much, they start stinking. They're not doing. And if you don't do, it has a problem of blowing your brains out, you know, kind of. Be a good thinker. God wants you to use your brain. All right? God wants you to use your brain. Look at verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. If you don't spend time, and I'm talking to especially those who strive to be a leader and want to do well for the Lord, you've got to spend some downtime just thinking. Thinking, and think well. Some people don't think well at all. Other people are great thinkers, and the end results are something to write home about. They've thought about this. You come to work and you see somebody and they make a presentation. Wait a minute, look here, man. They have thought about this, right? They have some experience behind their belt. Now, there's people that run in, you know, they have no experience and they want to tell you everything, which takes all about 2 minutes that they know. But here comes somebody and they've really put their head to this thing and they have some experience and they start making a presentation, and the experienced people of that firm or that company, you start to tell yourself, hold on just a minute. They have thought about this. They are what we would say in Scripture. They are not the simpletons of this world. They are those who are using their minds that God gave them to think, to evaluate, to ascertain, to investigate. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. How about number 5? In this world, you're going to have tribulation, and you're going to have even things that happen to you that are unjust, right? So learn how to endure injustice well. It's going to happen. Somebody says, well, that's not fair. Well, get over it, bub. Life's not fair. Now, if every time you demand as a pastor or a preacher, every time you demanded everything be fair, you're done in 1 week. You're done in 1 week because you're out of the water. You're out of the boat. You're out of the water. You're not even in the ocean anymore. You're gone. You're history. However, if you can endure, not only endure, but endure injustice, well, that's not fair. No? No, it's not. How well do you deal with that? Paul told Timothy, he says, therefore, in verse 10, I endure all things for the elect's sake. He didn't live his life for himself. He lived his life for others. Others. Selfishness seems to be growing. Selflessness seems to be diminishing. Would you agree with that? Endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Number 6. This is kind of tied to the earlier point, but suffer well with the long view in mind. Now, that's different than suffering injustice. Suffer well, but have the long view in mind, in regards to when you are suffering. Look at verse 12. If we suffer, this is Paul saying, if we suffer. You know, some things, Paul, did you mean to actually say that? You know, I know he did, but did you mean to, if, what do you mean if we? Can we rehearse the life of Paul? If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Well, is that tomorrow? No, that's the days and ages after, see. If we deny him yet, he also will deny us. But if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So therefore, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared, you see, to that which is to come. So it's imperative you always have to keep the long view in mind. Does that make sense? Keep the long view in mind. Also, you can use the other text in 2 Corinthians 4:17 when Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I told you about before, Brother Winnon Averett, smart aleck deacon. I love him, boy, I love him. And he told me one day, he said, well, and I was complaining about ill things of the church. I was complaining about him. He's one of our counselors, him and Miss Ivy, both great souls. Love them, love them, love them. I'll love them till I die. And he said, sitting around that old God-awful green living room or kitchen that she had there, and he wouldn't ever let her buy another one. You know, he was too much of a tightwad. He was, too. He was. And he said, when I was complaining about church, he said, well, they haven't hung you yet. And I said, well, that's true enough. That's true enough. Well, that's the long view. That's the long view. All right, light affliction, but for a moment, just for a moment. Number seven, be careful about needless striving. You can strive just about anything under the sun. You do realize that? I mean, you can make an issue out of just about anything under the sun. You can go to seed on just about anything that you could ever imagine. But not everything is deserving striving about. Not everything's deserving of that. So you have to pick and choose. In verse 14 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers, even words of no profit. Let me move on. Number 8, avoid evil and useless words. Avoid evil and useless words. Now, a mistaken word is not the same as an evil word. We can slip and say something we should not say. I can slip and say something I should not say. Okay? But there's a difference in someone saying something evil. Evil. With intent to be wicked. To be bad. To be bad. I hope we would paddle our kids for one and not the other. One is, oops, didn't mean to say that. And kids do say the strangest things. They do say the strangest things. In chapter 6, look at verse 16. But shame profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Number 9, I got to hurry along. Work and focus on all things that would be categorized as honorable. Is it honorable unto the Lord? Does it bring honor to the Lord? Is it honorable? Is that an honorable way to go about A, B, or C, or whatever the case may be? And we gain some insight from that from verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. We want to do and be that which is in the honor and honorable category. Honor. You know, honor is an old word. It was an old value, but it should be a present value. People would say, where's your honor? How could you do something like that? Where's your honor? Right? Yeah, that's old-fashioned, but it should be in vogue. It should be in fashion. Number 10, flee youthful lust, but follow the path of God in verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I mentioned as I was reading through, be careful who you run with. Birds of a feather flock together. Be careful who you run with. Proverbs is loaded with those teachings. Number 11, use useful occasions to teach and instruct others, even if that party is guilty of opposing themselves. In other words, they're hurting themselves. Have mercy and seek to instruct. Verse 24 and 25, as the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Take a chance. Love believeth all things. Give them the goods. Give them the goods. Do it again. 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 Don't grow weary in well-doing. Number 12. In our text over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you can flip over there. I think we'll finish over there. Renounce hidden things of dishonesty. Somebody the other day in an administrative matter was offered, well, we can do it this way, just I'll go about it, you know, in other words, I'll lie to cover you and you just participate in my lie. Then you're taking part in that lie. You're taking part in that lie. Don't do it. Don't do it. In other words, somebody, a superior, came up with an idea, we'll lie about it and get you covered and I'll take care of the problem. Well, they're going to call in that mark when it's a bad time, I'll promise you. It's going to be a bad time for you, but they're going to call in that mark. You've now come into league with wrong thinking and wrongdoing. And we should not do that. Renounce hidden things of dishonesty. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Stay away from what's wrong and do what is right. Look at verse 2 of chapter 4. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Well, nobody will know. Yeah, but I know. Most every morning, Brother Chase, get there and who am I looking at all that time? I'm shaving my face, and every day I have to look at myself. And when I look at myself, I say, self, how are you doing? Huh? You got to stretch it like that, you know. If don't, you'll regret it. Now, my old hide's kind of tough enough. My brother said, one day you're going to cut your throat. Because I will shave, actually. Find something to shave with here. I will shave about that fast. And he watched me shave one day and he said, one of these days you're going to cut your own throat. And that very well may happen. If I don't come to church sometime and you find out he's gone, well, it may have been that I sliced my own throat. I don't know. But I tell you what. You may not ever find out something dishonest I did, but I know it. Me. I know it. I don't like looking in the mirror at a dishonest man. I can be misunderstood. I can do a bad job. I can blow it. But I don't want to be a dishonest man. I'm going to have to look at that same face again tomorrow morning. And I've got to live with myself. All right? Renounce hidden things of dishonesty. Walking in craftiness. Not handling the Word of God deceitfully. In other words, being true how you handle the Word of God. Number 13, let me just blow through these and I'm done. You're already looking at your watches, so. Exalt Christ always. Old preachers always say, run to the cross, right? Run to the cross. Exalt Christ always. Verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Number 14, Carry yourself well, if no other reason, simply because the great treasure within. Carry yourself well. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Suffer well like Jesus. If you want to go long-term in service to the Lord, and long-term in service to the Lord, especially in one church, you must learn how to suffer well. Because you're going to do it. You're going to suffer hardships. Learn how to suffer well, like the Lord. In verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And here's another one that's just critical. Let me just end here. I'll end on 16. Is that a good spiritual number to end? Well, it's a good one nonetheless, right? I was thinking of numbers, numerology. What's 16? I don't remember. I don't even know if it is anything. Probably is, so you forgive me with that. But here's a good one. And it comes right out of the text of Anne of Green Gables. Tomorrow is a new day with no mistakes in it. Now, it's not bad theology. It's not Bible, of course. But it's pretty good. Here it is in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's the thing. If you want to do well with the word and with the work, you have to be renewed every day. Dun 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 dun. Rocky. One more round. One more round. Somebody says, oh, you never, I never thought about quitting a day in my life. I've always, yeah, okay, blow it out your ear, preacher. Okay. I've thought about it. Then something else comes up. Something deep from within. One more round. Be renewed. You can get beat down. If you don't think I'll never be beat down, you haven't lived long enough. You can be beat down. I can be beat down. I have been in a fetal position. I know what that's like. I've been there. I know what that's like. One thing you could do, look to the cross and tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'll be renewed in the Lord. Plug in your charger. Trickle charge is best. Plug in your charger and come out again tomorrow. Don't go hide for a year. Don't go hide for a month. Don't go hide for 20 years. Come out tomorrow. Be renewed in the Holy Spirit of God. Every day. Every day. You say, well, I don't need to be renewed every day. Well, maybe your trial's not as difficult as maybe some others. But let me tell you, there are some times in my life that I felt I need to be renewed more than even one time a day. And it just beat down, beat down, beat down, beat down, beat down. Well, somebody's got to be beaten, might as well be you, right? But you consider the Lord and know that He will renew your strength. As the eagle, He'll renew your strength. Look forward to that renewal, and every day, open your mind and heart back up to the renewal of the Holy Spirit of God. And you'll be amazed what you can endure. You'll be amazed what you can accomplish. You'll be amazed at what you can overcome. You'll be amazed at who you can even overcome with. You say, I never knew that I could endure living around so many turkeys in my life. But you'll be surprised at what you can do by the power of God upon your life. Amen? Let's stand together for prayer.